Hey, morning. Nice to see you. My name's Tom, and I get the privilege to break the word here. I'm one of the leaders here, so we're going to do that this morning. If you're a guest, it's great to have you, and hopefully we get to see you again. If you wandered in here by accident, well, just stick around. Maybe worth it, you know. So that has happened before. So anyway, we're in this series. We're just about at the end of it. We've been going through the Apostles' Creed. We haven't gone in minute detail. We've just gone through some of the major things and looked at the order there. The Apostles' Creed, probably many of you said that at school and had no clue what that was about. And we're not going to explain everything. It's not scripture. It's just been a little roadmap for us to go to different pieces of scripture and use this 1,800-year-old document just to look at some things that are very foundational to our walk with Jesus. And it was interesting when we kicked it off, I had a few people say like, oh, come on, man, can't we get into something deeper, like the theophany of the triune God and the dichotomous end of the nations in the end time thingy of the thing? And I said, we could do that, but I have no clue what that is anyway. But and then as we've got into this, people said, sure, it's been great to just be reminded of what our foundations are in Jesus Christ, because we get so busy in our culture, we just miss some of these high spots that are really important to us. So that's what we're doing this morning. And so church, we're going to talk about church this morning because we get to that part of the Apostles' Creed. And what we will do in a little bit, we will stand together and we will say it. And if you've never done that, you don't have to do that. If you feel awkward staying in your seat, just stand next to the person and pretend you're saying it or something. We don't want to make you feel awkward or anything like that this morning, but we will get to say it in a little bit. And I love it when we do say it here. We kind of put our heart and soul into it, and we really like, yeah, I believe this stuff. I want to live by this stuff. So we are going to talk about the part of it that talks about the church of Jesus Christ. And this, if I have to be honest with you, is my favorite thing in all the world. The church, the doctrine of the church, is my absolute most wonderful thing. It's always been my whole life, and so we're going to get into that. And there are just a bunch of different churches out there. I'm not talking about names like denominations or anything like that, but just types of churches. You get cathedral churches. It's all about the building. It's very ornate and very wonderful. And at the building, everything goes on at the building. It determines your lifestyle and the pattern of your life, because everything you do for Jesus, you go back to this building and you do it. And then you got the lecture hall kind of church, and the congregation are usually good singers and they're also good listeners, but they don't do anything else. And then there's this one guy who's got a gift in preaching or teaching, and he gets up and he orates, and you think Spurgeon has been reincarnated, and it's just a wonderful time, I guess. Then there's the theater church. Have you been to a theater church? It's like there's dramas. You know, like when they do the communion, they have someone coming in a special way, or a plastic camel they bought at Toys R Us or something, and they bring the thing up, and it's all dramatic, and there's nothing wrong. I'm not mocking or anything. I'm just telling you some of the stuff. I've never done any of these things, but I've seen them. I have done some of those things over the years. And there's a stage, and there's smoke, and it's bright costumes, and the priests are the professionals. The audience just sits and participates and inhales weird sort of smoky stuff. And then there's the social club. The emphasis is not on that relationship. It's on this. We gotta hang out. We're the people of Jesus. We gotta spend time together. And so it's all about social needs and cake sales and all that kind of stuff. Emphasis on the horizontal. And then there's the phantom church. They out there somewhere, they never meet because they're all phantoms. They don't know where to tell each other to meet, because then you're no longer a phantom church if I tell you where I'm going to meet. You know, it's like, you think I'm joking. There are people who see Christianity this way. Meeting together is unnecessarily. We do Christianity privately. I'm independent. I don't need any leadership or any other input from brothers or sisters in my life. There's no meeting place. There's no corporate direction. There's absolutely nothing actually going on. And I used to be a big fad a while back. It's not so much anymore. And then there's the corporation church. It's highly programmed. Everything's timed down to the last second. I remember sitting, I'm not knocking any of these churches. I'm just telling you what is out there to get to a point. I remember when we were still living in Australia, I sat behind the sound booth at Hillsong. I want to tell you, that sound booth is ginormous. It looks like NASA space station or something. And as the clock clicked to the 11 o'clock or whenever the service was starting, everything on that sound thing just started moving by itself. lights came on and smoke came out of something, and it was just amazing. But that's not the kind of church we want to be, where it's all that kind of stuff that's going on. Highly programmed. Then there's the country club with a cross. You know, country clubs, you vote on should we sell Diet Coke or Diet Fanta, and there's committees, and they marry and bury everyone, and that's just about what happens. It was very interesting. The church site where Havelock is now, Baptist Church, which has been kind enough to let One Harbor partner with them. We've put in a lot of money to revamp part of the building. It looks really cool. They really are a cool bunch of guys. It's a great God story how they let us use their facility. But they came down here and said, can we, when we were meeting across the road, they said, hey, Tom, can we come and see what you guys have done? I'll just bring some of my committees. And as soon as I heard committees, I was like, we don't do committees at One Harbor. We're not saying it's wrong or anything. And they arrived with like 30 people. There was a committee for the hammer. There was a committee for whether you use Phillips screwdrivers or whether you what. And I'm not mocking. Honestly, I'm just telling you what it was. I mean, some of you got Baptist heritage. And I'm not teasing or mocking or being sarcastic or anything. And we had this wonderful time of fellowshipping together. And then they kind of broke some of those things and let One Harbor do some amazing things. They are a very generous and gracious people, those guys from Havelock. And then you've got the ritualistic people. They like ritual and smoke and robes and like saying stuff in other languages. This is how you say hallelujah in Sudanese, which I think in Sudanese is hallelujah. But anyway, be that as it may. And people come to that and they stick around because they know at the end there's going to be some wine at the end of the service. So we'll go through all that stuff just to get to that little thing of wine. And then there's the righteous rave. It's like a tambourine breakout. The brothers and sisters are down the aisles and they in time with each other and a da-da-da-da. I personally do like a tambourine, I've got to be honest with you. Just judge me if you have to. There's banners whipping people's ears off. There's a mosh pit. Have you ever been to a church where there's a mosh pit down front? Like fittings are falling out the roof. It's like, and then there's a church full of rules. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't go out with. Oh. And then there's churches that brand themselves. It's really cool. I'm not knocking any of these guys. I'm just trying to get to somewhere. And then there's churches, it's about a large personality, celebrity. If we've got that guy or that lady in the pulpit, we cool, we've got it made, it's going to work out. It's interesting, they did a survey on Australia. An American guy who used to live in Australia went and did the survey. And this is what Aussies said, Aussies are very honest. They will tell you straight to your face what they think. Did you like this cake? No, it's rubbish. God, 90% they want. Jesus, the third most important person in the world. The other two were sports idols in Australia. The church did not even score on the survey. And they turned it into business speak. This is what they said. This business called the church has a great product, but a very bad distribution system. The way we do church doesn't bring life, especially if it's not according to how the Word of God said we should be doing church. So in a few moments, we are going to look to the Apostles' Creed and we'll say it together. And let's put it up now. And if you'd like to stand with me, if you're a visitor this morning, honestly, you can just relax. You can stay in your seat, or if that's uncomfortable, you can just stand and just mime or whatever you want to do. There's no pressure from us at all today. So, on the count of three, we'll go for it, all right? One, two, you all ready? Yeah. All right, one, two, three. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats. Thank you so much for doing. So just a couple of things out of the statement. When we say, I believe, it actually is not meant to be each individual person saying, I believe. Because the scripture doesn't look at us like an individual. And even some of the names that are given to the church, it's always a group name because God looks at us as a family. But what happens in a Western culture like we have in Australia or here in America, it is very individualized. It's all about me and what my needs are. And so honestly, that's why this morning I said with Eric and, going away and Rachel still being here, we can do it the Western way, which is like you must find a nanny or something to help there. Or we could do it the biblical way, which is family. The Bible is written from the perspective of family and say, what do you need done? Do you need your garden mowed? I'll come mow it. Do you need your feet massaged? I'll get my wife to do that for you. There should be no hassle if we truly understand the communityness of this church, of any church in its design. Rachel should be able to pick up the phone, and I'm putting her on the spot now, and say, I need my feet massaged now. Get here. And if she can't get someone, the elders will send someone. I believe it's when we stay there, it's us believing. I believe. We believe. That I, you know, when I talk about me, I say, I, Tom, take you, Una, as my wife. But what the early writers of that creed, which is 1,800 years old, and they were trying to bring a tool to pass that would help people understand theology. I mean, many of the people in the churches were peasants, and they didn't understand, and they were kids that couldn't read and write. And so they memorized this thing, and they understood when I say, I believe, it's I, the body of Christ, believe. Not just Tom. It's I believe. It's about community. And I do want to say this as well. In there we said the Holy Roman Catholic Church, or the Holy Catholic Church. It's not the Roman Catholic Church, capital R, capital C. There's a Roman Catholic Church just down the road here. It's that word Catholic there with the small c means the universal church. And the church worldwide, the true church worldwide, is everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the clarification of Scripture. We're not ever going to bend on that. You can go to church all your life, but if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're not part of the church. The church is not a building. The church is not bricks and mortar and fancy stands and iPads and all the rest of it. The church is made up of flesh and blood people who have come to Jesus Christ, seen that they are sinners, and I am in need of salvation, and you're the only one I can get it from. Here is my life. I submit it to you. That is the church of Jesus Christ. And I feel in my bones there's a day coming where that's starting to shift more to what it should be. And I don't understand that. I'm just being honest with you. It's kind of holiday times upon us. And that word Catholic there means the universal church. So there's only two churches spoken about in Scripture. It's the universal church, which means everyone throughout history who gave their life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or let me rephrase it a little bit more for some of the Reformed guys in this room. You heard Jesus calling you to salvation, and you said yes. So everyone worldwide who knows Jesus, that is the universal church, and then there is the local church. So we're a local church. It meets in the Swansboro Town Hall, and those are the only two types of churches you find in Scripture. You don't get all these other labels and all the rest of it. And listen, there's nothing wrong with doing church in different ways. I mean, I you know, some guys like wearing an academic gown when they preach. It's not a hassle. They haven't sinned or anything like that. If we were meeting in the middle of a hippie colony, I would probably grow my hair long, put some beads in it and a couple of earrings and a nose ring and like, peace, brother. So our one hippie just broke through. Listen, This thing about the church we're talking about, it is not buildings. We just need a building to meet in. This is not the church. That has got to get into our, I am convinced if this does not get into our souls properly, we will never fulfill all that God has called us to, because buildings and all that stuff will get in the way. I'm not saying we should never have buildings or anything like that. I'm not trying to go that route. But the church, according to Scripture, is each boy and girl, man and woman, who knows Christ is their Savior. That is the church of Jesus Christ. And our Western culture has totally bamboozled us and got that all mixed up. We want to be a biblical church according to that. The church is a people. It's like a tribe. That word, a people, it's meaning like a tribe. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We were orphans. We were sinners wafting around on our way to a lost eternity. Jesus somehow breaks in through a youth camp or whatever the case is. He grabs our souls. We surrender our lives to him. "You are now my Lord and Savior." And in that moment, we get grafted in to a people. That's what Scripture says. We're not a whole bunch of individuals. We're a people. Important. I don't know why I felt this laid on my heart, but I'm going to go there. I've always believed, and I've got to tell you this, I don't know how many years this is. It's 42, I think, this year, 43. We've been in pastoral ministry. You should really thank you, Una, personally afterwards for helping me get through that. But generally, I haven't picked up much hurts. Because I've understood this thing, the bride of Christ, she's a little gnarly. She can do some of the dumbest things you've ever seen a human being do. And that would include me. And yet he still passionately loves her. And if he can still passionately love her, then I can. Actually, let me rephrase. I have to. I feel deep in my bones. Man, this morning is going to be a little different, I guess. I think some of us are carrying hurts in our heart that we picked up from this thing called the people of God or the bride of Christ or any of the wonderful names that she's called in Scripture. And I want to say to you today, I have an absolute conviction that that thing can go today. It's done. Finished. Because you may think you're just carrying a hurt in your heart. Someone let you down. They promised to make you the parking lot attendant and you didn't get it. We'll let you do it every day for a year if you want. That helps. But you didn't get the thing. You were let down. Folks, do you know what happens? Until you let that thing go and find peace in God, that thing will keep on harming you. It's so interesting. You know, over the years, I had a lady once. I was worshiping at a conference or something. This lady came up to me. She said, "Tom, you hurt me 18 years ago. You said something." I said, "What did I say?" She said, "I don't know, but I was hurt, and I'm still hurt." 18 years? I said, "Ma'am, I don't even know if I remember who you are. All I can say is forgive me." "Well, I think we should talk about it." I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't. I've got to go to a meeting. I've got to go to this. What you should do is go to Jesus and just say, "In this moment, I let it go." And it's gone. He's strong enough to let it go. If you are carrying hurt here this morning from something that happened in church, you are a glorified debt collector. Now, I'm not saying that people should have hurt you, that just suck it up and get on with life, because some of the hurts that we can experience are incredibly, incredibly painful. You see all the sexual stuff that's going on? Some of the stuff that's happened to us is deeply, deeply, deeply painful and abusive. But the good news this morning is that Jesus' healing power is deeper, deeper, deeper than whatever you hurt. I want you to know that today. Church is meant to be a place of healing, but often it's a place of hurting. I mean, I've experienced some of that stuff. But by God's grace, this is honestly not a boast. I don't think I'm that kind of guy. But over the years, you and I have carried very little hurt from the church. You know why? We've been able to pull back and understand this is his woman. She's acting a bit headachey around us. He must deal with that. We just got to love her because she belongs to him. It's just like, you know, if Anne-Marie and Mike came over to our house and Anne-Marie was all gnarly and kicking the cat and whatever, I'm still going to love her. I'm going to pick up a hurt. Now you must apologize. Folks, I'm telling you, in this room, I can guarantee there's stuff in our hearts. You know, we took over a church once years ago. I was the assistant little junior pastor. The guy went on to be a big shot somewhere else. I mean, he was a big shot. He had a gifting. He could talk to anything that got saved. Just like that. Boom. Hundreds, thousands of people got saved. And he changed. He said, the Holy Spirit was from Satan. So he came back to the church. And our last service, I'll never forget, I was sitting there, our last service, because the denomination said he could preach one more time. All his guys, about 200 of them, jumped up and they jumped across the pews like kangaroos and they stole everything. The only thing they didn't steal was a piano because they couldn't get it out. And next Sunday we all met, eight of us, from about 400. And one guy who could play a chord on his guitar. And we sang our hearts out for Jesus. Sad that our friends had walked away and been so ugly. But man, I'm not going to get caught up in that in my heart. That's Jesus' bride wandering around out there. He loves her. He died for her. I've got to be so careful. Most of those people ended up getting divorced because the guy who led that was getting divorced. Most of them don't serve Jesus anymore. I can stand before the Lord and say, I didn't have a thing to do with trying to punish those people. Just like, guys, go for it. We'll do church again. And that church, after my watch, became one of the biggest, and is one of the biggest churches in that city today. Because I think she kept her heart pure. Those eight little people, we prayed for those people. We loved on those people. When we saw them in town, they'd cross over to the other side. We'd just cross over as well. Hi, how are you? Because this is his bride. And if you're carrying some kind of hurt or offense in your heart, I'm telling you, you're carrying it against him and his bride. You can't do offense on your own. It affects everyone. If you know Jesus, we are his bride. We are the body. We all those things that the scripture calls us. My favorite one is the bride. We can keep these hurts and nurse and rehearse them. You know, I've spoken to people recently. They can't even remember why they were hurt. Can't remember the moment. And hurts in us, when we carry this little thing in us, it's a great excuse. I'm not getting involved. I'm not going to get hurt again. Well, I've got news for you, friend. Because of that attitude, Jesus, in the eons of centuries back, saw that going to happen. He said, I'm going to come and die on the cross so you've got no excuse to not love my bride. I had a pastor in this church I led, another church union I planted. And I mean, I was a young guy and we put him in full time. I wasn't the wisest dude. I don't think I am now, but at least I got wise guys around me. That's helpful. And a very wise wife. So we put this guy in full time and it became evident that he just doesn't have it. Paying him big salary so he could live nicely. We believed in blessing our staff. So I had to ask him to step down, you know. Said, I'll give you a year's wages. You can come and draw. You can use the office. You can print out CVs, all that stuff. And I thought maybe 2 months he'd be done. 12 months later, he's still there, paying him a big salary. I can't bring another guy onto staff, as I was getting a little wiser. So eventually I had to say to him, this is your last month. And actually, that's what he needed. I was just an immature leader. I should have pushed him harder and forced him to go. And he was just staying in the womb, you know, being looked after nicely. 14 years he walked around hurt. 14 years. I've been back to that church over the years. I get to preach. He'll sit over on that side, and he's just down and grumpy. Mixes with no one in the church, and he used to be one of the most loved people in that church. And just recently, I go and check that church's website now and then. If I run out of sermon material, I've got to get something somewhere, you know. So, not just teasing. This is just Tom honest morning. And so I noticed he preached. So I went and listened. And he actually says in his preach, for 14 years I carried this offense. And then the other day the Holy Spirit broke into my life. 14 years? It damaged his family. It damaged his relationship with grandchildren. It damaged his relationship with his wife. All his friends he'd had from 20, 30 years back all had vanished into thin air because he was just this grumpy, sour person carrying an injury in his heart that Jesus died for on the cross and could have healed in a second. What are you carrying this morning? And there were scars to his life because of those 14 years. See, it's one thing when something happens like that to get it done with quickly before you start picking up scars and parts of your heart go hard, but to carry that for 14 years, it builds things inside of us that actually become hard to get rid of again down the road. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. My gosh, we sabotage that. It's saying, I have an affliction. Mike Crowe said I'm the worst pastor he's ever served under. Okay, that's sore because I like Michael. And as long as that thing stays in here, I cannot bring life to anybody else. That's what I think that scripture's saying. But when I find the comfort of God, oh my gosh, the joy, it's free, it's over. Mike and I are best buddies again. I get to borrow his boat whenever I want. It's so awesome. Then there's a flow of life again to others around me. We think, oh, I'm just going to take an offense of that guy. It affects everything. 30 seconds should be the longest we hold anything against anyone. 30 seconds. And even that is an eternity in the Bible. Should be 0.3 of a second. Because listen, you could borrow my car now. And if you did, I apologize. Now, I'm not going to say anything because you think I'm throwing out hints or something. I'm not that guy. And you could break it on purpose. You could drive it into the sand. And that debt you owe me was already paid at Calvary. Why do we carry those things? We sabotage ourselves. Backfires on us. There's no comfort coming towards us, and normally it's because there's no comfort going out from us to those who've hurt us. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Do you have a root of bitterness? I mean, you've all been around those kind of people. When you talk to them, it's like the air goes funny. Ooh, what is that? they brush their teeth or not brush, what is, something's, And they're just always walking around with this limp, you know, and their legs rotting and falling off and it stinks up everything. Now, I'll give you a word of knowledge. I'll show you that I am a man of God. Every one of us in this room have limped. I have no doubt about that. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it may become defiled." Many become defiled. It's like my leg rotting, and I don't do anything about it. So every I come to your house, and it's just like a big mess dribbling along the floor. It looks like marmalade or something hanging out. It's like it. It's the truth, guys. I'm not making it humorous. It's the truth. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, encouraging, spurring. You know, like when Roy Rogers gets on his horse and ch-ch-ch-ch. That's what it means. To get on each other's back and spur each other forward. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That day when God wraps up Project Earth is coming. And he's saying, man, encourage each other, encourage each other. He's not saying, go to the course the church will run so you can be encouraged. No, he understands. We family, encourage each other. I should be able to go up to Matt and say, hey, Matt, every time I hear you talk about George, it's like sourness comes out your mouth. Wake up, buddy. You're affecting all of us, your family, your kids, your beautiful new baby. Go and see George now and fix it. We think, because we're in a first world nation, we live for ourselves and it doesn't affect anyone. That is totally unbiblical. Because actually we are spirit beings in a fleshly body. And spirit can affect spirit. You know, Jesus offers a forgiveness that's so comprehensive, nothing is left. Nothing. And I've watched over there, it's so wonderful to me. I watch guys who nurse and rehearse hurts and things they've picked up in the body of Christ. They nurse and rehearse, and I'll ask them, you know, when I see them or find them, hey, how's that thing going with George? La, la, la. Still going on. But Jesus' forgiveness on that cross has already paid that debt. Why are you and I, because I can do this too, folks. Why are you and I still being debt collectors? That's the last job on earth I want. People throwing axes at you and just wheel spanners, motorbike helmets. But when I don't come to this Jesus who's already paid the price for the offense committed against me and say, Lord, I take your price, I let it go, and I'm free now. We're crazy. And I have a sneaking suspicion that many of us like to keep those hurts. Kind of justifies our sourness. Because like if I really let Jesus heal it, I can't be sour anymore and make the grandkids go away. When we've been hurt a lot, folks, you know what happens? We diminish church and this wonderful walk with Jesus down to stuff we have to do. I've got to do this. It's the right thing to do. Church and serving Christ and serving our brothers and sisters in the family of God should never be like that. It should be, I didn't even go to bed. I was in Washington last night, went to watch South Africa play rugby against Wales. Should have shouted for Wales. I think they cheated, but anyway. I didn't get all grumpy, like, I want to be with my kids, and now I've got to go and talk to these guys, and none of them smile at me. No, it's just church, 9 o'clock. We pack together with the bride of Christ. Oh, And honestly, my heart would be like that even if I was just sitting in the chair and doing nothing this morning. This is his bride. This is your and my family. These are our brothers and sisters. We're going to spend eternity together. I saw some of you just wince like, no, not him, not him, please. And we throw the church out, man. I know guys in this church, they talk so bad about the bride of Christ. My absolute prayer is that they do stand before God and ask forgiveness before they stand before him and give an account for every word we spoke. Your bride, the church, you wasted your time, Jesus. She's a real hag. My experience of her, she's a real dummy. That's my girl. I shed my blood for that girl. I have never stopped loving her for one inch. Listen, I've been to thousands of weddings probably. And I'll sit there and I'll watch. And I never say anything ugly. I mean, we've got a couple at the back there who are going to get married soon. But I'll hear other people, I'll hear especially the older ladies, they'll say like, what does he see in her? It's like us, you know, when we treat each other bad, it's actually like us saying the same thing to the King of Kings. What did you see in that person to make them part of your bride? What a dummy. Not you. You're the King of Kings. They're the dummy. No, no. He knew what he's doing when he has called you to himself. He loves you with a passion. He died with a passion for you. If you were the only one on earth, he would have died for you. Oh. And you know, we say the church is a bad place. And I tell you, the church can be gnarly sometimes. I agree totally with you, man. She can churn you and round and spit you out and then walk over you and spit you out again. But you got to see it through his eyes. She's not perfect. The only time she'll be perfect is when she is presented by the Father to Jesus. She will be perfect. And the fact that you here makes her imperfect. And the fact that I'm here incredibly makes her imperfect. So, you know, I'm imperfect. I know I've got lots of stuff. And then I go and pick on other people, like Anne-Marie falls asleep while I'm preaching. And I don't look at me. I'm just as imperfect. And if he could love me, well, he can love that person that irritates me too. Let's get to heaven together. And then when you do look at the church, if you do a little bit of study, you'll find worldwide, the church has done more to change this world than anyone else. Orphanages. Schools, universities, research universities. The church has done more than any other organization in the history of mankind. Sure, she's got some gnarly bits and pieces to her, but that's because you're in it and I'm in it. Cadbury's chocolate, Christian missionaries. I lived in a city when if the wind blew the right way, you just smelled Cadbury's the whole day. So grateful. If you visited the factory, you were allowed to eat as much as you could while you're in there. And they were just clever. They knew you could eat three flakies or whatever it was, and that would be done. So you didn't have to try and steal it and ruin your testimony. So just let me try and draw this to a close. I really, most of this I didn't intend to say. I don't know what is going to happen the second service. I'm so sorry. Just play the tape. If you know Jesus this morning, you and I are from the city of God. And the Bible talks clearly of two cities. There's the city of man, and there's the city of God. So for example, and each of those cities have a government. We have a government here. The mayor usually comes here, I think usually the first service. John, he's part of the life of the church here. And we know some of the other guys who lead, and we try and get involved in the city a little bit. I know about Beaufort. I used to live there. Snobby little city. If you go there now and try and cross the drawbridge, they've pulled it straight up so you can't get over. Like, we don't want you here, Tom. If I get on the big flyover bridge, it goes the other way. It doesn't go where I want to go. Like, what are you trying to tell me, Beaufort? You come to Swansboro, the mayoral staff are standing down there handing out hamburgers and have a coffee on me. Hello, morning, nice to see you. But this isn't our eternal place. This is an earthly city. There is a heavenly city we are destined to. And this is what Scripture says, and there's no time to get into it. I'm a citizen of that city, but am deployed here in Swansboro, and while I'm in Swansboro, I live as I was a citizen in that city. Okay, that's what the Scripture teaches. I haven't got time to get into all of that. So I'm a citizen of heaven. People in heaven are always joyful, always happy, always generous, always doing their chores, always talking nice to their wives, if there is wives in heaven. I don't think there is going to be that in heaven. I hope Una's close by, though. That would be cool. And so how I live in heaven, that's how I live here on earth. And then I act in a way that goes against the cities here. So like if Beaufort's a grumpy town, it's not really. I'm just picking on Beaufort. If you know, all the leaders in Beaufort are a bunch of grumpy guys. We only made $2 billion this year. I go and visit Beaufort as a citizen of heaven, not as a grumpy Swansboro person because we don't have 18 hairdressers or whatever it is they got there. And so when I walk into Beaufort, I walk in with an attitude of heaven, not all grumpy. Anyway, we're going to have to call it quits there. Our amazing team is waiting to come lead us. So let me pray for you. Page 8. Oh my gosh. Listen, folks, you know, we don't often go off script like this. So this is what I'm assuming. With absolute authority in my bones, I think. There's people in this room carrying stuff that should have been let go long, long time ago. And there's some things you can do when you, if you know Jesus and you come to take the bread and the cup, before you drink of that, you can sit in your seat. You can get someone to come stand with you if you want and say, this day, I let it go. You're going to write it in your Bible. If it's a little bit more difficult than that, then find one of us or just grab someone near you and say, please pray for me. I've got to let this go today. To walk out that back door or the side doors, I'm going to cover all the doors because I know you'll say, well, you never said the side doors. No, the side doors too. And if you climb out a window, to do that, when the redeeming life of Jesus is in this room by the power of His Spirit, to let that thing be gone forever so you can live free. Excuse me, but I'm going to say it. You're crazy. It's like taking the sacrifice in the blood of Jesus, just a, I can do this better. Young people, stuff may have happened to you in recent times that's a burden you're carrying. You blame others. Blame your parents. Just let that go today. Just take your bread, take your cup. Jesus, I forgive them today in Jesus' name. And then honestly, folks, if you do need some ministry, there'll be some of us up here. But I really hope that we draw a line, and when we cross that line today, it's done. Because the church worldwide walks with a limp when we don't embrace all that Christ has done for us. We want to reach nations. We want to plant churches. But man, so many of us walk with a limp. Some of you disappointed yourself at college. Got up to stuff that your folks don't even know, but your own heart's broken, forgive yourself today and find healing in Jesus. He's here. So my invitation to you, which I hope I'm bringing accurately on behalf of the King, is to walk out of that door 30 pounds lighter. Because Jesus is here today. Amen. So I'm going to pray for the elements. I'm going to pray for the bread and the cup. There are wafers here for you if you're gluten intolerant or any of that stuff. So Lord Jesus, we bring this bread today. And Father, your word tells us that your body was broken so we could go free. And Lord, I feel for many of us in this room believe the devil's lie. That we can't go free because we've got to pay a price, or someone's got to pay for this, or someone's got to own what happened to me and what was done to me. I pray, Holy Spirit, move from chair to chair and help each person to see that you, Jesus, done that already. You paid the price. You took the responsibility for every sin that we've committed, every sin committed against us. And I pray, Lord, as people eat of this bread today, may freedom come. When they walk outside, may they look more beautiful than they remember. They're going to have lunch or whatever. May the food taste better than it has in a long time because that junk's gone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray for the cup, the wine, your blood shed for us. And just the same thing, Lord, I pray that as people take of the cup, they would be set free in an instant, Lord. Help us today, Holy Spirit. Folks, you have to own this. Can't just stand there and say, okay, Jesus, do something. No, you got to say, Jesus, that resonates with me, what Tom shared today. I let it go now. In Jesus' name. Amen.